What's up, Pharmacy Nation? I'm Pharmacy Joe. Thank you for being a listener of the Elective Rotation, a critical care and hospital pharmacy podcast. This is episode 501. In this episode, I'll discuss the remdesivir emergency use prescribing information as it pertains to adult patients. I have all the evidence supporting today's show linked up in the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode501. Remdesivir is a viral RNA inhibitor which just received an emergency use authorization from the FDA for the treatment of COVID-19. This was in response to trials that have yet to be published but were reported by the NIH and the manufacturer that we discussed in episode 500. For adult patients, there's two different suggested dose regimens. The first is for adults that are on mechanical ventilation and or ECMO, and that's for a loading dose of 200 milligrams IV over 30 to 120 minutes on day one, followed by once daily 100 milligram doses IV over 30 to 120 minutes for 9 more days for a total of 10 days of therapy. And the other regimen is if the patients are not requiring mechanical ventilation or ECMO, that's still the loading dose of 200 milligrams IV over 30 to 60 minutes. And then the once daily maintenance dose is for 4 additional days, 100 milligrams on days 2 through 5. If the patient doesn't demonstrate clinical improvement, treatment may be extended for up to 5 additional days. According to the emergency use authorization and the prescribing information therein, a diagnosis of COVID-19 is not required to start remdesivir. It may be started in hospitalized patients with suspected COVID-19 pending laboratory confirmation of infection. Regarding renal dose adjustment, all patients should have an estimated GFR determined before dosing. Remdesivir is not recommended in adult patients with a GFR less than 30 unless the potential benefit is felt to outweigh the potential risk. But there's just not a lot of information out there as to what that risk might be. Patients with a GFR of 30 and up have received remdesivir for treatment of COVID-19 with no dosage adjustments. There's also no information essentially regarding adjustment in hepatic disease. So if a patient does have significant hepatic disease, the recommendation again is use only if potential benefit outweighs potential risk. Regarding lab monitoring, the following lab tests should be performed daily while receiving remdesivir: serum chemistries, hematology, ALT, AST, bilirubin, alkaline phosphatase, and renal function tests. Regarding administration, the prepared diluted solution should not be administered simultaneously with any other medications. The compatibility of remdesivir with other IV solutions and medications besides normal saline is not known. Administration may occur over 30 to 120 minutes. After the infusion is complete, the prescribing information suggests to flush the IV line with at least 30 mLs of normal saline. Remdesivir right now is available in both a powder for reconstitution and an injectable solution. There is no preservative or bacteriostatic agent present in remdesivir. It's diluted before administration with normal saline. And the recommendation is to gently invert the bag 20 times to mix the solution in the bag. The solution should not be shaken, so presumably, therefore, it should not be delivered by pneumatic tube. But the prescribing information also says do not shake. The diluted remdesivir solution for infusion can be stored up to 4 hours at room temperature or 24 hours refrigerated. Regarding adverse events, infusion-related reactions have been observed during and or have been temporarily associated with administration of remdesivir. Signs and symptoms may be hypotension, nausea, vomiting, diaphoresis, and shivering. Transaminase elevations have been observed in the remdesivir clinical development program, and this has also occurred in healthy volunteers and patients with COVID-19. And healthy volunteers who received up to 150 milligrams daily for 14 days, ALT elevations were observed in the majority of patients. So this is something to expect. And this included elevations up to 10 times baseline in one subject without any evidence of clinical hepatitis. Transamination elevations have also been reported in patients with COVID-19 who have received remdesivir, including one patient with an ALT up to 20 times the upper limit of normal. As transamination elevations have been reported as a component of COVID-19 in some patients, discerning the contribution of remdesivir to the transaminase elevations in this patient population is going to be very challenging. So in response to hepatic testing requirements, the prescribing information suggests not initiating remdesivir in patients with an ALT of 5 or more times the upper limit of normal at baseline. Then remdesivir should be discontinued in patients who develop either ALT greater than 5 times the upper limit of normal during treatment, or ALT elevation accompanied by signs or symptoms of liver inflammation or increasing bilirubin, ALKFAS, or INR. Interestingly, the recommendation is that remdesivir can be restarted in these patients when the ALT drops below 5 times the upper limit of normal. The completion of FDA MedWatch forms to report all medication errors and serious adverse events with remdesivir is considered mandatory. Regarding drug interactions, drug-drug interaction trials of remdesivir and other concomitant medications have not yet been conducted. In vitro, remdesivir is a substrate for CYP2C8, 2D6, and 3A4, and it's also a substrate for OAPT and PGP transporters. In vitro, remdesivir is an inhibitor of 3A4, and several of the transporters. The clinical relevance of these in vitro findings has not been established. You can read the full emergency use authorization prescribing information found at the link at the bottom of the show notes at pharmacyjoe.com/episode501. And to access my free download area with 20 different resources to help you in your practice, you can go to pharmacyjoe.com/free. Thank you so much for listening. I'll see you in the next episode of the Elective Rotation.